Ja. Okay, goed. Ek is baie bly om hier te wees en om in Afrikaans te kan preek. Ek kon nie vanmiddag my geliefkoosde middagslaapie in volle rus vat nie en geniet nie, want ek het heeltyd geworstel met hierdie ding dat ek in Engels moet preek vanaand in Brit en ek is regtig bly dat dit nie so hoef te wees vanaand nie. Sou nie, ek dink eintlik dit sou right gewees het op die oomblik. Ek hou skool by Boys en ek moet hulle wragtig hierdie jaar vir my al die Engelse klasse gegee. So ek praat dan maar so nou en dan die gevreesde taal. En ja, ek is van Parel af, ons is almal van Parel af. Hierdie drie manne, Renier en Wouter en Hein, is al drie in Boys. Rika is in Girls Eye, Rachel en Phil, hulle werk nou al en Marie werk al. Ilana was ongelukkig in gym gewees. Dis ons hou haar een kant. Ons hou haar hierdie kant, dit sy nie. Dat sy nie. Ja, en hier is nog 'n juffrou van gym, en Cecilia hou ook skool saam met my by Boys Eye. So ons is regtig in ons nommers hier so vanoggend. Maar dit is baie lekker om hier te wees. Ons was so vanoggend in Mosselbaai en die Here het regtig iets kom doen in ons harte vanoggend en ek hoop dat dit gaan voortgaan vanaand. Vanaand, ja, nie vanoggend nie, vanaand. Ekskuus, ek maak soms daai fout. Ons hoop regtig dat die Here dit gaan voortsit wat hy vanoggend begin het. En is lekker om hier te wees, is lekker om die Here te dien en om te preek. Hier's vra nou ook van huis Marie al die pad. Ongelooflik. En ja, ons is bly om hier te wees. Net so vinnig, ek wil hê ons vanoggend se die preek se naam is First Love, dit is in Engels. Is eerste liefde. En ons wil net vanoggend terugkom. As jy mos nooit, dis altyd so as jy goed in jou hand het, dan juk jou neus hier onder of jy kan iets juk wat jy nie kan krap nie want jou hand is vol goed. Nou dis volgende like, vanaand lyk my so. In elk geval, eerste liefde, dis waar die preek gaan en ons moet vanoggend, ag vanaand, yes, like, wat die hel gaan met my? Vanaand, ons gaan nou. Wil ons terugkom na die eenvoud van die gospel en van verhouding met God en van verhouding met Jesus. Ons raak soms so verlore in teologie en in allerlei dinge, allerlei werke, betrokkenheid by die kerk, ons pligte by die werk, ons pligte as gesin, ons die dinge wat ons moet doen. Ons soveel goed het ons net soveel so baie tyd vat en so baie van ons gedagtes en goed in beslag neem dat ons vergeet soms net om terug te kom na daai eenvoud, na dit wat Jesus wil hê en dit is verhouding. Dit is alwaaroor vanaand gaan is net om terug te kom na verhouding toe. En net dat ons weer besef dat daai verhouding wat ons met Jesus het is die heel belangrikste ding wat daar is. Pil, daar's mense agter by die deur. Ek sien dat die deur toe is en hulle gaan nou omdraai en stap en ons moet daar toe. Nou sê. Okay. En ons moet terugkom na daai plek toe waar Jesus ons eerste liefde is. Ek weet nie van of dit by julle ook so was nie, maar toe ek net tot bekering gekom het, was ek lief vir alles en almal. Okay, jy het mos so regte openbaring van liefde en van die Vader se liefde en dan is jy net dis amper asof jy die bome 'n drukkie wil gee as jy verby hulle stap en almal is net fantasties en wonderlik en die lewe kan net nie beter as dit nie. Engels. Yes. English. Yeah, it's fine. I can speak English. Jeez. So I almost got away with it. Damn it. Okay. So. We're speaking in English. This evening, not this morning. This evening. So we want to get back to that place where the Lord is number one, where He's our first priority, where everything is about Him. And I want to start with two questions that Jesus asked these disciples in Matthew 16 from verse 13 to 20. I'm going to read it to you. When Jesus came into the coast of Caesarea Philippi, He asked His disciples saying, "Who do men say that I, the Son of Man, am?" And they said, "Some say John the Baptist, and others say Elijah, and still others Jeremiah, or one of the prophets." He said to them, "But who do you say that I am?" And Simon Peter answered and said, "You are the Christ, the Son of the living God." And Jesus answered and said to him, "Blessed are you, Simon Bar-Jonah, for flesh and blood has not revealed this to you, but my Father which is in heaven. And I also say to you that you are Peter, and upon this rock I will build my church, and the gates of hell shall not prevail against it. And I will give you the keys of the kingdom of heaven, and whatever you bind on earth shall be bound in heaven, and whatever you loose on earth shall be loosed in heaven." That's a question that we must ask ourselves, every one of us. And there's two questions that Jesus asked these disciples. The first one is, who do people say that I am? Okay, so who do people say that Jesus is? There's a lot of people that's got an opinion about Jesus. I know that when, I think it's 2 years ago or 3 years ago when we were in India, there's a guy that claimed that he was Jesus reincarnated. And he had a camp just outside of India. He had almost 1 million followers. And this guy would actually place his hands on people and they'll get healed. Okay? So it's important that we have that intimate relationship with Jesus to know when it's truth and when it's not. Okay? And then there's a lot of people that just see Jesus as another historical figure. Okay? I know Time magazine once had an article or once had a thing on the front page where they looked for the guy or the man that was the most revolutionary man that ever walked the face of the earth. And they said the criteria for this is he must do the most with the least resources to his available to him. Okay? And they looked at Stalin, they looked at Hitler, they looked at all the big leaders that walked the earth and made a difference, not all for the good, but they looked at everyone, and in the end they came back to Jesus and they put his face on the front page, and they said that with the least things to his availability, he did the most. Okay, but they only see Jesus as another historical figure, just someone that walked on earth, that had good morals, that had good teachings that we can listen to still today. But that's not who we say Jesus is. We must say that Jesus is the Son of God. Okay, there's a lot of religions that also believe in Jesus, but they don't believe in him as the Son of God. They don't believe in him as the only way, the truth, and the life. Okay, they believe in him as just another prophet, like the disciples said. Okay, I know Hindus believe in Jesus. They said that Jesus walked on earth and that he's a good teacher. Okay, the Muslims also acknowledge Jesus. But the difference is that we say that Jesus is the Son of God and that he's the only way to the Father. He's the only way to heaven. And just with that, I want to say that in the last, on Judgment Day, there's going to be one question. There's going to be a few, but one of the questions that's going to be the most important one is that the Father is going to ask us, do you know my Son? Do you know Jesus? And then the answer can't be, yes, I knew him in 1980 when I gave my life to him there in that soul there, but then I didn't pursue him anymore. I didn't really love him. I didn't spend time with him. He's going to ask us, do you know my Son? Do you have you got relationship with him? And our answer to that is going to be a simple yes or simple no. A lukewarmness, the word said that he's going to spit us out of his mouth. That's what the Revelation says. So we must be at that place where we just say that everything in life is about Jesus. Okay? Solomon writes in Ecclesiastes and he says, vanity of vanity, everything is vanity. Everything is a chasing after the wind. Okay, there's nothing that's important. And after the whole chapter, he comes to the conclusion and he says, fear God and keep his commandments. Okay, so he says that the only thing that's important is that we fear God and we keep his commandments, that we love him, that we've got relationship with him. Okay, Solomon was one of the wisest men, I think, to ever walk on earth. Okay, so we can listen to what he says. So that's the main thing. Who do people say Jesus is? And even this evening, you can't come to heaven one day and say, yes, but Chili said this and this is Jesus. Or Paul said this is Jesus. You must have your own revelation about Jesus. You must be able to say that he's the one that saved me. He's the one that took me from that pit, that hell, and who brought me into that marvelous light. He's the only one that I can give my everything to. Okay? And that's the second question that Jesus asked his disciples as he said, who do you say I am? Because he chose 12 people and he actually just cared about what they said. Because he poured his life into them day in and day out. He just poured himself out into them. And the disciples didn't have the right mindset about Jesus. They had the wrong perception about him. Till the end, even till he went to the cross, they thought that he was only there to deliver them from Roman oppression. Okay, and to be king of Israel. And so that, and they will rule and reign with him. So when he went to the cross, most of them ran away. Okay, most of them said, this is not the Jesus that I followed, because I thought that this is what Jesus is going to be. So that's why a revelation about Jesus is so important. Okay, and then There's two people that did this exactly, the disciples. Two disciples that did exactly the same sin. Okay, this shows the importance of this revelation. Two disciples. The one is Peter and the other one is Judas. And both of them disowned Jesus somewhere down the line. Okay, somewhere in that 3 years of his ministry. They said that they don't know him. Okay, Peter did it while the servant girl asked him that, aren't you a part of this Jesus and his crowd? Aren't you a part of him? And he said, no, I don't know him. And the rooster crowed three times. And Judas kissed him on the cheek and gave him over to the soldiers. Okay, for 30 pieces of silver. And the response to the sin of both differs. Okay, the one went and he hanged himself. Judas went and he hanged himself. And the other one, Peter, which Jesus is speaking here to, and he asks, who do you say I am? And Peter says, you are the Christ, the Son of the living God. And Jesus says to him, but flesh and blood did not reveal this to you. Man did not speak this to you. Man did not tell you this. There's no way that you can know this except through the Father that gave you that knowledge. The Father that revealed that to you, that broke it open to you. And Jesus said, blessed are you, for on this I will build my church. And that's where some religions or some denominations miss it. It's not on Peter that he's building his church. It's on the revelation that Jesus is the Son of God that he's building his church. Okay? And that is what Jesus is building on. It's on the revelation of who he is. Okay? And Peter's response to the sin is different. He's just said, listen, I'm going to fish. I'm going back to the things I know. I'm taking my boat and my nets and I'm doing that again. But he didn't go and hang himself. He didn't go and freak out or turn away. He just said, listen, I'm going to fish. And when Jesus came back, and we're gonna talk about that now, his response to Jesus is different. Okay, but we'll see about that. So that's why it's so important to have that revelation about Jesus. Not my revelation, not someone else's revelation, your own. Like Reinhard always says, fresh from the bakery. Revelation. That's what we need this evening. Okay, then I just want us to think about the following stuff. Jesus, this Isaiah 6 verse 1 to 4 sketch a picture of how Jesus was worshipped, or God was worshipped before Jesus came to earth. Okay, and I'm going to read it to you. In the year that King Uzziah died, I saw also the Lord sitting upon a throne high and lifted up, and his train filled the temple. Above it stood the seraphims, each one had six wings. With two he covered his face, and with two he covered his feet, and with two he flew. And one cried to another and said, holy, holy, holy is the Lord of hosts. The whole earth is full of his glory. And the posts of the door moved at the voice of him that cried, and the house was filled with smoke. This scripture paints a picture where the angels literally cover their faces because of the holiness of God and the holiness of Jesus. And they said that we can't even look at you. And this same Jesus came to earth for every single one of us, to die for us on the cross. And that's why we have Easter. Okay? It's actually a good time to think about this. Then the next one, Philippians 2 verse 6 to 11, speaking about Jesus as he came to earth, who being in the form of God, thought it not robbery to be equal with God, but made himself of no reputation, and took upon him the form of a servant, and was made in the likeness of men. And being found in fashion as a man, he humbled himself and became obedient unto death, even the death of the cross. Wherefore God also has highly exalted him, and given him a name which is above every name, that at the name of Jesus every knee should bow, of the things in heaven and the things in earth and things under the earth, and that every tongue should confess that Jesus Christ is Lord, to the glory of God the Father. That scripture says that Jesus came to be a servant. He came to be a humble man, to serve us as people, because God so loved the world. John 3 verse 16. Okay? And I don't know if you've thought about this ever, but Jesus weren't born in Pharaoh's house in Egypt, or in the nicest palace, or in no one knew but no one made a big fuss of his coming to earth. Okay, he was born in a manger, and probably the first thing that he smelled was cow dung. Okay, that was his beginning on earth. Okay, and he lived with his parents for 30 years. Somewhere in that 30 years, his father died. We don't know when, and he was a carpenter. a normal carpenter. For 30 years, he stayed with his mother. He provided for his mother and his brothers and sisters. I think there were 8 children, 6 children, I'm not sure. But he had a normal life. The Son of God living in, is it, this not, this not said it, no? Okay. Living in, now, I don't know if you know how big Nazareth is. It's for those of you that went to that lovely place called Stellenbosch, it's as small as Stellenbosch campus. Farana was with me there in Ismare. It's as small as Stellenbosch campus, Nazareth. Okay, and his ministry was almost only in that part and a bit above in Israel, further up. Okay, Jesus never even saw the sea. Okay, the Sea of Galilee is a dam. It's not a sea. There's not waves and stuff. It's not a sea. Okay, he never went to another place. He never flew around. Didn't have his own jet. He never went preaching at other places. Only that place, and he impacted the world. Okay, he changed the lives of 12 people and millions of others, and still today he's got more followers than all these other famous guys. Okay, so that is. What I want, the last thing that I want to say about that is the biggest testimony for me personally about Jesus and the life of Jesus is his disciples. Okay, he had 12 disciples. Judas hanged himself, but 11 of them, every single one of them, were murdered or martyred for the cause of Christ. Every single one of them. Okay, Peter, we're going to read about it just now, but Peter were crucified upside down. Okay, when they was busy crucifying him, he said, "Listen, I'm not worthy to die as Jesus died. I want you to crucify me upside down." And they did. Oh, now in India, we were on a mountain that they claim that Thomas's bones are buried there. And they killed him with a spear like an animal. They killed him with a spear. There's one of the disciples that they skinned him, filleted with knives. Okay, they tore the skin from his body while he was alive. So every single one of him of the disciples went and laid down their lives for Jesus at the end of the day. And I've got a lot of friends, but not one of them, I believe, maybe Phil. No, I'm joking. I've got a lot of friends, and there's certain stuff that you can convince someone about, and that he will be willing to follow you on that point for a certain amount of time. But when the going gets tough, he's not going to follow you anymore if it's a lie. So if 11 people are willing to die for a lie, then I will be really amazed. So 11 people went and they died for Jesus because they know that what he said and what he came to do was the truth and was the only way and was his life, is the only way to life. Okay. Then this Jesus that we are talking about, the only thing that's important to him is the relationship with us. Okay, he is God and he wants a relationship with human beings. That was the first thing I had to get my mind around when I came to salvation, is that Jesus are interested in me, in every single one of us. He's interested in us. He knows the desires in your heart. He knows the plans that he has for you. He knows what you've been through. He knows everything about you. Okay, even more than your mother and father. I'm the only child. My mother knows everything about me. Okay, if she doesn't know, she'll phone around and find out. Okay, but Jesus knows more than my mother. Okay, and he loves every single one of us, and relationship is the most important thing to him. That's why we must return to that place where it's just about him, only about him. Matthew 7 verse 21 to 23, it's a scary piece of scripture, but I want to read it to you. "Not everyone who says to me, 'Lord, Lord,' shall enter into the kingdom of heaven, but he who does the will of my Father which is in heaven. Many will say to me in that day, 'Lord, Lord, have we not prophesied in your name, cast out devils in your name, and done many wonderful works in your name?' And then I will declare to them, 'I never knew you. Depart from me, you that practice lawlessness.'" So Jesus says that even if we preach in his name, it doesn't give us a right to go to heaven. Even if we have 20 soup kitchens and we say we're doing it for the love of Jesus, it's not enough. It's only about relationship with him. It's not about what we do for him. It's not about if we prophesy and we prophesy accurately. I can stand here and I can preach to you and I can actually bring an accurate word for the church and still be so far from the Lord. It's scary. And actually in this first term, I tell you this morning, I had to repent about that a lot this first term, because we started with youth services in Paul, and each Sunday night You have to get there and I have to be ready. I have to have a word from the Lord and preach to them and see the children's life change. And it actually happened that every time that I spent time with the Lord, every time that I had quiet time, I only went to look for a word for the church. I only went to get the next message. And I never went just for him. And he actually said to me, Gili, you know what, I'm not interested in this business. I'm not interested in this, you seeking me for a word, or you seeking me for the next thing to preach about. I want you to come to me because you love me and because you want to spend time with me. Not because you want a word, not because you want to have a good sermon, not because of anything. And I had to repent. I had to say, Lord, I'm sorry. I know you've called me to do this, but I'm not going to do this at the expense of our relationship. And Angus Buchan is the best example of this. Uncle Angus, I know that when he feels the Lord calling him to spend time in the inner room, just to spend time with him, he cancels all his meetings. 3 months, he says, listen, phone everyone, cancel all the meetings, I'm spending time with the Lord. In the beginning, I thought, what's this guy doing? It's thousands of souls, that's their last chance to go to heaven. But Uncle Angus understand that relationship that he has with Jesus is more important than his ministry. It's more important than the lives. And Jesus actually calls him every time to that place where he just says, listen, this ministry, it's wonderful and I love what you're doing. I love that you're working and laying down your life for me, but I want you first. I want your heart and I want to spend time with you, not with you and all the people, but just with you. Because I'm interested in you. Okay, so that is really important. Then the basis of any relationship is good communication. Okay, so we must ask ourselves this evening. We must ask ourselves, when last did we hear the voice of God? Okay, when last did we hear the voice of God? Because if we gave our lives to Him, He says, my sheep hear my voice. My sheep hear my voice. Okay, so when last did you hear the voice of God? What did He say to you? You can ask yourself that. What did God or Jesus said to me last? What did I do about that? Okay? Because He says I can hear His voice. And there's obviously a process where you learn to hear His voice. Okay? I think it's Elijah or Jeremiah said that it's the small, still voice. It's not the wind blowing. It's not the fire. It's not the earth moving. It's that small, still voice. And you've got to tune yourself in to hear that small, still voice. And that obviously takes time. And it's a process to start knowing how the Lord speaks to you and what He says to you and in which ways. Okay? But we can hear His voice. Okay? Otherwise, if we don't hear His voice, we're gonna settle for mediocrity. We're gonna settle for second best. And then we're gonna serve a dead God. And who wants to do that? It's boring. It's really boring. Okay? To serve a God that doesn't speak to us. I don't want to serve a God that doesn't speak to us. I don't know how these other people do it. Serve a God that doesn't speak to them. And drives him with fear and things they must do, otherwise he's not pleased with them. Okay? We've got a God that loves us, that desires a relationship with us, and that speaks to us because He's alive. And yet we are so busy doing things that we don't just take that hour or half an hour and say, Lord, I want to spend this time with you. I want to get back to that place where I can hear your voice, where I can react on your voice. Okay. Then I've got two more stories that I want us to look at is how Jesus treated His friends. Okay, now there's two groups. The one is one of His disciples, it's Peter, and the other one is Martha, Mary, and Lazarus. Now Lazarus, the word says that when he was busy raising Lazarus from the dead, that he loved these three people, Martha, Mary, and Lazarus. He went to their home a lot. Mary was the one that poured out the perfume over his feet and washed it with her hair. So he really loved these people. He just loved being with them. He loved spending time with them. He loved getting into their house, being at their house. And here we see one of the times when he gets to their house, and I'm going to read to you from verse 38. Now it came to pass as they went that he entered into a certain village. And a certain woman named Martha received him into her house. And she had a sister called Mary, which also sat at Jesus' feet and heard His word. Okay, that's important. And she had a sister called Mary, which also sat at Jesus' feet and heard His word. But Martha was distracted with much serving and came to Him and said, Lord, do you not care that my sister has left me to serve alone? Therefore tell her to help me. And Jesus answered and said to her, Martha, Martha, you are worried and troubled about many things. But one thing is needed, and Mary has chosen that good part which will not be taken away from her. This sums up everything that I'm speaking about today. Martha was distracted with much serving. She did a godly thing. She prepared a meal for Jesus. Okay? She did a good thing. She actually cleaned the house and made everything right for him to come. And when she moaned and said, "Lord, can't you just tell my sister that's lazy to come and join me and come and help me so that we can prepare this faster?" He rebuked her and he said, "No, what your sister is doing, that I desire." And what Mary was doing is she was sitting at the feet of Jesus. She was just listening to him, listening to his word, like scripture says. She was just listening to what's on his heart. What's his day been? What's the last month or so that she didn't see him? What was it? Why was it? What's new? What happened? She just desired relationship. She just desired fellowship. That's the only thing that was important to her. But Martha had to do a good deed. Okay, she had to earn that love. She didn't think that she can just come and sit and just relax like we just worship and say, "Lord, I just want to relax in your presence." She couldn't just relax in his presence. She had to do something to earn that love. Okay? And here, one of the biggest enemies of the church, I believe, in South Africa is religion. Okay? Religion is we serving God on our terms. Okay? And our rules. Okay? The best example for religion is the Israelites in the desert. When Moses went up to the mountain for 40 days, they didn't know he was going for 40 days. So after 30 days or 35 days, they started worrying, "Where's Moses? Moses is dead. Maybe the cloud consumed him, or he went up with the Lord into heaven or something like that." But they worried that he's not coming back. Okay, and they went to Aaron or whatever it's in English, and they said, "Listen, we must make a plan. We need something to worship. We don't have Moses anymore to direct the way for us. We need something. Okay, we need something that we can see." Okay, and he said, "Bring all your gold, bring all your silver and everything, and we will make us something nice." Okay, and they made a calf. I don't know how the thing looked, why a calf, but a calf. They made a calf. And interestingly, the calf's name was Yahweh. I don't know if you know that. The calf's name was Yahweh. Okay? And in the Old Testament, God's name is Yahweh. Okay? So what they actually did is they created an image that they can worship with the same name as God. Okay? So it's like they created something that they can worship to ease their conscience. Okay? And that's so many times what we do, is we create an image or we create Jesus the way we want him and the way we like him, okay, so that we can worship him and just not sear our conscience, just ease our conscience, just that we don't feel so guilty. God don't want to spend time with us because we feel guilty or because we feel we have to, we must come into his presence. He wants to spend time with us because he loves us, and we must be at that place where we say, "Lord, we want to spend time with you, not we feel obliged to spend time with you. I must stand up this morning at 5 o'clock, otherwise lightning will strike." Okay? We want to spend time with the Lord. Okay? And religion, Jesus was, it's scary how outspoken he was against the religious leaders. Okay? Ek gaan dit nou in ongelukkige Afrikaans sê, want ek weet nie presies wat die vertaling in Engels is nie. Maar hy sê op 'n tyd vir die godsdienstige leiers, sê hy vir hulle, "Julle lyk so 'n klomp wit gepleisterde grafte. Mooi van buite, maar vrot van binne." Okay, that's a scary thing to say. And obviously, I was reading this, and many times I was reading, and I thought, "Lord, this is really this sounds loveless to say this to people. To say that they're dead inside. They just like to be in the synagogues and have beautiful robes with things to wear, just for the show, just to be greeted as a rabbi, just to have the place of honor at each table." That's what he said to them. He said to them, "Your praises are on my lips, but your hearts are far from me." Okay, but Jesus were able to say that to them because he was the only one that was willing to lay down his life for them. He was the only one that loved them enough to say that to them in love. Okay, if I go and tell someone, "Listen, you look like a wit graf, a mooi gepleister van buite, maar jy's vrot van binne," dan gaan ek 'n face hou kry. Okay, because I don't walk in that love and that authority that Jesus walked in. Okay, obviously we want to get there, but Jesus loved these people. And he saw that their hearts were so far from him. Okay, their hearts, they only, everything they did was for the show. Everything they did. I was in a service once where this guy shared a vision that he had, and he said that we as a someone representing the church was entering the holies of holies. Okay, in the temple that I don't know who built, Solomon, okay, built, there was phases that you can go through. Okay, first the inner courts, then the that and that, and then the last one was the holies of holies. Okay, and the holies of holies were the place where God's presence were. Okay, that was the only way that they could get into God's presence. Is the priest can come once a year into that place and repent for the sins of Israel. Okay, and he said, and actually you know that when Jesus died on the cross, that veil was torn in the temple. That veil was torn, and that symbolizes that every single one of us can come into his presence. We don't have to be a priest. We don't have to be have robes on with stuff hanging around. We can come into his presence. Okay, and then this guy that walks into the holies of holies in the dream or in the vision walked in, and he stood in the holies of holies, and he turned his back, and he started. I moet julle my help met die Engels. Hy het toegewerk die kleed met 'n naald en gare. Okay, nou die kleed weer toegewerk wat geskeur is as gevolg van Jesus se dood. En God het gesê, en hy, die ou vra toe vir die Here, maar Here, wat gaan aan? What's going on? And the Lord told him, he said, that this is religion. This is what religion does. It closes up my presence. Okay, you can't come into my presence. And I hate religion. Because then you serve me in your way and not in my way. I made the way for you to come to me. Don't do it in another way. Do it in my way. Come through Jesus. That's the only way that we can come. Okay, so we must move from that place where we're religious, and where we try to put up a show for people. I know I'm preaching to myself as well. Okay, I'm preaching to myself. So the shows and the things we do for people and men to see. Okay, we must move from that place and say, Lord, it's all about you. It's all about you. We want to worship you. We want to come into that holies of holies. We want to sit and relax, like the worship team said, just in your presence. Okay. And the second one, Jesus and Peter. Now, Peter is an interesting character. He's an interesting character. He's the one that jumped out of the boat when he saw Jesus. He's the one that when the people, the officers came to fetch Jesus, he pulled out his sword and he cut off the ear of the one soldier. And Jesus first had to pick up the ear and heal the guy and say, listen, Peter, I'm not leading a rebellion. Please, just behave yourself. Just be calm. And Peter said in the Last Supper, he said to Jesus, Jesus said that one of you that's sitting with me are going to betray me. Okay? And Peter said, Lord, not me. I will never betray you. I'll die with you and for you. Okay? And Jesus said to him, when the rooster crows tonight 3 times, you'll disown me. And Peter said, no, Lord, not me. I love you so much. And the time came, and the servant girl asked Peter, or asked him, are you a part of this? Aren't you one of Jesus' disciples? And he said, no. Okay, and the rooster crowed, and he realized what he did. Okay, and after that, Jesus died, and he went to the cross, and he was resurrected again. And then Peter said, as I said in the beginning, he said, listen, I'm going to catch fish. I'm going fishing. Okay? I'm going to go back to what I know and what's nice to me. I followed Jesus for 3 years. It was nice, but it's over. And he went, and the scripture actually says that I caught 153 fishes. I don't know why it's so specific, but he caught 153 fishes after Jesus said, listen, put your nets on the other side. But Jesus came, and he walked on the shore, and he started brying breakfast, a fish. I suppose. I think it's fish. He brought fish for them. Okay? And he called them and he said, listen, come to me. Come to me. Come sit with me. I want to speak to you. And they all came and they ate and they enjoyed the Jesus' presence. And then afterwards, Jesus said this to him. Not afterwards, while they were eating, Jesus said this. So when they had eaten breakfast, Jesus said to Simon Peter, Simon, son of Jonah, do you love me more than these? He said to him, yes, Lord, you know that I love you. He said to him, feed my lambs. Now, I want quickly us to stand still here. There's the love that Jesus And in Hebrew, if you go and study the word, you'll see this. The love that Jesus is speaking about when he asks Peter, do you love me more than these? That love is a godly love. It's an agape love. Okay, there's different kinds of love in the word. That Jesus refers to an agape love, where he says that an agape love is a godly love. It's an unconditional love. It's a love where you are willing to lay down your life as Jesus did for his friends. Okay, it's a love where you will just do anything for the one that's being loved. Okay? And so Jesus asked him, do you love me more than these? These referring to the disciples, because Peter with his big mouth always said, Lord, I love you the most. Okay, out of all these, I love you the most. And he said, do you love me more than these? And Peter's response says, yes, Lord, you know that I love you. But that love that Peter's talking about is not an agape love. It's not a godly love. It's a love, it's filial love. Okay, that's what Hebrew tells us. It's filial love. It's a love with, he says to the Lord, Lord, I love you, but with my emotions. When it's going good with me, I love you. When there's no pressure or there's no trials and tribulations, then I love you. But I'm not willing to lay down my life for you. I'm not there yet. Okay? And then Jesus asked him again. He said to him again the second time, Simon, son of Jonah, do you love me more than these? Again referring to the agape love. He said to him, yes, Lord, you know that I filial you. I love you with my emotions. He said to him, tend my sheep. Next one. He said to him the third time, Simon, son of Jonah, do you love me more than these? With an agape love. Peter was grieved because he said to him the third time, do you love me more than these? And he said to him, Lord, you know all things. You know that I love you. Jesus said to him, feed my sheep. And now this is an important part. Verily, verily, I say to you, when you were young, you girded yourself and walked where you wished. But when you are old, you will stretch out your hands and another will gird you and carry you where you do not wish. Is that all? No. 19. This he spoke, signifying by what death he should glorify God. And when he had spoken this, he said to him, follow me. Just go back to the previous slide again, please, Rachel. Okay, there. Verily, verily, I say to you, when you were young, you girded yourself and walked where you wish. But when you are old, you will stretch out your hands and another will gird you. Okay, so Jesus is prophesying and he's saying, when you are older, you will stretch out your hands and someone will gird you. Someone will put clothes on you. Okay? And another will gird you and carry you where you do not wish. Okay, next one. This he spoke, signifying by what death he should glorify God. And when he had spoken this, he said to him, follow me. Jesus is telling him here, Peter, you are going to die for my name's sake. You are going to die. And when you were young, you could have dressed yourself and girded yourself. And you could have gone where you wish. But when you are older, someone is going to gird you. Someone is going to put chains on you. And they're going to take you to a place where you do not want to go. Okay, because you're going to be crucified or you're going to die for my name's sake. And why this is so significant is because Peter said to the Lord, Lord, I don't love you with that love. It's not able for me to love you to a place where I lay down my life. But yet Jesus is telling him that you will in the end love me with an agape love, with an unconditional love, and you will lay down your life for me. Okay, so Jesus said to him, the first thing Jesus said, I know where you are. I know that you love me only with your emotions. And it's fine. It's fine that you love me with your emotions. But one day, when I'm finished working in your heart, when I'm finished with all that I want to do with you, you will be able to lay down your life for me. Then you will love me with that agape love. So the key here is just to be honest. Okay, Peter were honest with Jesus. And that honesty usually came after something bad happens. Okay, because he saw his own heart after he disowned Jesus. He saw that a little servant girl convinced him to deny Jesus. He saw that he's not in that place where he thinks he is. He's not that holy. Okay, he's not that good. Okay, if we go out here today, if we go out tonight, and we go into the town, into the streets, and we ask people, do you think that you're a good person? Every 7 out of 10 will tell us, yeah, I think I'm a good person. And on... Omdat hulle dink hulle is goed, dink hulle dat dit gee hulle reg om hemel toe te gaan. Okay? We think because we're good that it gives us a right to go to heaven. And here Peter had to go through something. Okay, he denied Jesus and then he saw his own heart. He saw that, listen, I'm not there yet. Okay, he's got a human zeal like you don't see a lot. Okay, he had a human zeal, but he didn't have a godly zeal, a godly love, a love where he was willing to lie. Otherwise, he would have told to that servant girl, yes, I'm a part of him. You can crucify me now. But he didn't, because he was afraid of what they're going to do. He wasn't willing to lay down his life. And that's what's important with that for us, is that we just take off that mask that we so many times come to the Lord with. Okay, we come to when we're in His presence, we put on this mask as if we are so holy. I'm including myself here. Okay, as if we say the right things. Okay, I find myself so many times in prayer, then I'm just saying all the right things. Okay, I know what the Lord wants to hear, but He can see my heart. Who am I fooling? He can see straight through all those nice words and beautiful words, and He can see right into my heart and see that, listen, your heart's not where your mouth is. Okay? You are not practicing what you are preaching in prayer to me. Okay? You are not there at all. And many times it takes something bad or some devastation of a sort for us to realize that we aren't where we think we are. Okay? And I know there's a sheep. It's a sheep. Yeah. There's a certain sheep, it's a black one, okay, in Israel, which this sheep usually just wanders off, okay, he goes to the other grass that's greener, and he's never in the trop, he's never there, okay, he's always wandering off somewhere, going somewhere else, and what the Skabwachter, sheep, shepherd, what the shepherd does is he breaks the sheep's leg, literally. Okay, he breaks the sheep's leg. And then, from then on, the sheep can't afford to not be at the side of the shepherd, because otherwise the wolves will catch him, because he can't run away. Okay? Many times, that's what Jesus must do with us. He must break our legs, so that we will stay at His side, so that the other stuff, the wolves, won't catch us. Okay? Literally, actually, that's what happened to me. I tore all my ligaments in my knee. I don't think the Lord broke it, but it felt like it. And that's when my life started changing. I just said, Lord, who am I fooling? I'm going to church every Sunday. I'm even giving class for little ones. Who am I fooling? I've got no relationship with You. I can't hear Your voice. I don't know who You are. You're distant to me. I'm angry towards You. I don't know You. I don't know if You're interested in me. I've never heard You speak to me. I've never been in Your presence. Who am I fooling? Who am I putting the show on for? Okay. So then, while we're honest, we must ask ourselves the following questions. What does our heart look like this evening? What do our hearts look like? Okay. Do we have the heart of Jesus? Because when we spend time with Him, His heart will transform your heart. When you spend time in His presence, it's onmoontlik om nie te verander nie. Okay, it's impossible not to change when we spend time with Him. Okay, His presence and His heart will change us. Okay, die ashers kan so lank hy nagmaal goed vir ons uitdeel, maar julle moet die res moet luister vir my terwyl ek praat, want dit is nou 'n gewone 'n redelike logistieke nagmerrie die nagmaal uitdelery. But we must see if our hearts are the same as the heart of Jesus. Okay? And this, we can ask ourselves a few questions. When last did we cry for our family that's not saved? Because that's the heart of Jesus, to save our whole family. Not just one or two, to save the whole family. Okay? When last did we, were we excited when someone came to salvation? When someone came to the front and said, Lord, I want to give You everything. How do we feel? What registers in our heart? Okay, how do we feel about cancer? People dying all over the place of cancer. How do we feel about depression? How do we feel that people just sit in their own misery every single day and they don't know how to get out of it? How do we feel about that? What registers in our heart? Have we got the heart of Jesus? Okay, I've got this one friend. We're staying with him this weekend, but there's not a guy that I know that knows the Father's heart more, or understands the Father's heart more than him. He told me a few weeks ago that many times he thought that he was deceived, because every time that he spends time with the Lord, it's just about love. It's just the Father telling him how much He loves him. Okay, he never hears something else. It's just love, 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 love. We was walking in Canal Walk in Cape Town, and while we were walking, there were a boy in a wheelchair, and his father pushed him. Okay, his father pushed him, but this boy didn't look. Something was wrong. Okay, and when he came past, we saw that he's literally blue in the face and on the parts of his body. It looked like someone is suffocating him, someone is strangling him, and he's not getting air. His lips are blue. He's not looking well. He's not looking healthy at all. And I saw him, but I turned my face and I walked on. Okay, and I didn't look at him anymore. But this friend of mine went and he stood right in front of him. And he looked this boy in the eyes. Okay, and he stood there for 2 to 3 minutes. And he started crying. He's an emotional guy, so I thought it's fine. It happens all the time. When he gets into the Lord's presence, every single time he cries. Till today. I can just play him a beautiful song, then he cries. He starts crying. Okay? And he started crying. And I left him. And 2 or 3 minutes later, I went to him and I asked him, well, what's the matter? Is he fine? It's all right. And he said to me that he said to me that every time that he does that, he makes a habit of it to do that. That every time that he does that, he stands there and he stands in front of that child and he says, Lord, I want to know how you feel about this. I want to know how this breaks your heart. I want to know how you feel about this sickness, about this death that the devil is bringing, which is not from God. I want to know how you feel. And then he just starts weeping. He just starts crying because he can feel the Father's heart. Okay, and how far are our hearts from that place? When last did we cry for people and say, Lord George, this is a huge town. There's millions, thousands. The evangelist in me also always want to exaggerate. There's thousands that doesn't know you, that sits in their homes tonight, and they don't know you. They don't have a relationship with you. They can't hear your voice. They don't know life. They sit in their misery day after day after day. How do we feel about that? Does that break our heart? We drove, and I know the youth team went to Langa, I think is the place's name. It's Shacks. Okay. When last did you drove into one of those places just to go and see how that the people live there? They don't have food. They don't have. If it rains tonight, probably nine out of 10 of them would be soaking wet. Okay. And how do we feel about that? How do we feel about poverty? How did Jesus feel about that? Did he create that? Was it meant for the world to be as broken as it is? DSTV wanted to have a porn channel. How would we feel about that? I'm a teacher. I said that when I speak to the Standard 7 boys, grade 9, and say to them, I know that all of you are watching porn. They laugh at each other. They say, yes. It takes them 1 minute to access porn on their telephone. 1 minute. How do we feel about that? Are we so far from the heart of Jesus that stuff, it doesn't impact us anymore? Because then we must get back to that place where we say, Jesus, you are our first love. Okay? We must say, Jesus, what breaks your heart, that must break my heart. Because then I'm intimate with you. Okay? When I'm intimate with someone, or I've got a friendship with someone, and there's something that bothers him or stirs him, then I'll know about it because he'll tell me. Okay? We must be at that place where we've got a friendship with the Lord and he can tell us, listen, this sickness and this death, I don't like that. I hate that. I want you to go and put your hands on these people and to pray for them and to raise them. Yeah, when last did we do that? We must have that same heart. And that is what the church of the Revelations, what the first one is, Revelations 2 verse 4, which I want to read to you. Just before that, I actually had to put that in, is Jesus, the angel saying to the church that, I know your works. I know what you've done. I know all the things that you've done in faith. I know everything. But one thing that I have against you is that you've left your first love. You've left your first love. That's the most important thing. If we walked away from that place of relationship and saying, Lord, I've grown cold. I've grown lukewarm in my heart. It's not about you anymore. It's about me. It's about my plans. It's about my work. It's about my family. It's about so many other things except you. And I want to get back to that place. And that's why we're here this evening. So get back to that place where Jesus is our first love. then one thing that this is a scripture that Jesus wrote to believers. It's not unbelievers. Okay, this is one of the churches. Behold, I stand at the door and knock. If any man hear my voice and open the door, I will come into him and I will dine with him and he with me. That's a promise that Jesus says. He says, listen, open that door. Open the door to me. I will come in and I will dine with you. I will have fellowship with you. I'll sit with you. I'll tell you the secrets of my heart. But we don't open that door because we never go and sit down and say, Lord, this is your time. This is time that I want to spend with you. I want to move away from the world and everything that hassles me. I want to spend time with only with you. Walk into the mountains. Walk into this Tainizo. Bhutan is a Tain. Okay, we spent this weekend there in Mosselbaai. And it's so nice just to go out to a point and just to sit there and just to watch the sea. Just to see, Lord, that this is everything that you've made. It's just so nice to have a relationship because we get so busy. Busy. Okay, so while you've got that communion with you, I want you just while they're playing, I want you to just think about what's keeping you from the Lord. What's keeping you from that first love? Maybe you don't know Jesus as your first love even this evening. Okay, and then we want to pray with you afterwards. But think of what's holding you from that place where you're intimate with Jesus again. Because he will tell you, I promise you, he'll tell you what's keeping you from him. Okay, so I'm going to stop talking now. And just take the communion on your own. Okay, and think about what's keeping you from the Lord. What's hindering you from getting into that fullness, getting into that holies of holies. Okay, last story from my side. You can just sit like this. I remember I had a dream one time, and there was a small house. It was dark outside, and inside the house, the lights were burning, and there were people inside the house, and everything, there were commotion around this one person, okay? And everyone wanted to sit on his lap. Everyone wanted to spend time with him. Everyone wanted to just touch him, just be with him. And in my dream, I saw myself outside. I was standing outside, and I was standing on my toes, looking through the window, looking through the kitchen window, and seeing all this happiness and laughter and joy and love. And I waked up the morning, and I was quite disturbed. And I asked the Lord, Lord, what's this? Why am I outside? And he said to me, Gili, and this is after I was saved a few years. He said to me, Gili, you're not fellowshipping with me. You're outside. You're in the darkness. Okay? But the door is open for you to come in at any time that you want. The door is open. The only thing that you must do is just take the handle and walk in. And you can come into my presence. You can come and dine with me. You can come and sit with me. You can come and fellowship with me. I want to tell you everything. But you must take that first step. You must take that first step and take that handle and go in. And that's what we must do. You must just say, Lord, we've got a desire this evening to spend time with you. Not only tonight, this week, this month, the next of the year, the rest of the year. We want to spend time with you. We don't want the world to get to us. We don't want time to be consumed. We want to spend time with you. Okay, let's all stand to our feet, please. There's two groups of people that we want to pray with, and that's why we're here, is to pray with you. Okay, we're going to respond on the word and what you felt in your heart, and we really want the Holy Spirit and the Lord to just come and cleanse every heart. Okay, I really believe that the Lord wants to circumcise our hearts this evening. Okay, he wants to make our hearts new. Okay, places in our hearts where it's maybe been hardened through stuff with fears and worries and doubts, maybe. Okay, the Lord wants to come and renew that areas. He wants to come and break our hearts again. Okay, the first group of people is, if you've never, and we can close our eyes just for the sake. If you've never came to that place where you said, Lord, I want you to be Lord of my life.
okay?
And then tonight we want to invite you to come to the front so that we can pray with you. We want to pray. We want to just say, Lord, that I can't do this on my own. I need a savior. I'm sinful. Okay? I need you. I need to have a relationship with you. If there's any one of you that's got a desire tonight just to come to that place and say, Lord, I want a relationship with you. I can't remember anywhere in my life where I've said that I want a relationship with you. And my relationship with you is dead. It doesn't exist even. Then we want to, tonight we want to pray with you. Is there anyone like that? If you can just raise your hand. If you want us to pray with you just for that relationship. Just to say, Lord, Jesus, I want to get to know you. I want to have a relationship with you. I want to hear your voice. Is there anyone? No one. Okay. Then the second group is, if while I was speaking, you just had a stirring in your heart. I saw a lot of people crying already in the place. The Lord is here. If you just want to come while we're worshiping, come to the front. We want to pray with you. Okay? You can just come and speak to the Lord. Anything that's in your heart that you thought about while we were having communion, just come to the front, please, and let's pray with you. Let's anoint you. Let's speak life over you. Let's say, Lord, that this thing that keeps us from you being our first love, this sin maybe, this doubt, this fear, or this lack of just spending time with you, we want to remove that out of the way. Okay, so while we are worshiping the last song, this is really an urgent call. Don't walk out of this place without us praying with you. Please, let me pray with you. Let me prophesy over your life. Let me speak life into you. Okay, that dry bones. Okay, that bones and that heart that's so hard. We wanna break that. The Lord wants to change that this evening. Okay, but you need someone to pray with you, because when you get to home and half an hour from now, you'll forget about this. I promise you. You'll start crying or watching TV or doing something else, and your mind will not be on this anymore. So let's close the deal while we are here tonight. Okay? So while we are worshiping, don't be afraid. Please, come. Anything. We want to pray with you. You don't even have to say something. We'll just pray for you.